All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, Bankstown? Hey, it's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects, and guess what? It's the hours before our New Year's Eve, the listener appreciation party, the greatest day of the Gal Media year. Nick is here, Barry's here, I'm here, and we're hopefully going to take you on a ride for the next 3 hours where we entertain you talking about sports and a whole lot of other things. Fellows, what is going
what
on?
What to do?
What's up?
All good in the neighborhood.
I wore my good clothes today.
I see that. No. I actually had to do another video, so I brought like three different things, because like if you go by AJ's tweet, shorts and t-shirts are the norm. I don't expect that.
No.
So I've got options.
Are you one of those guys where, like me, I have a pair of nice jeans, and I made air quotes, where like if I'm going to be around somebody or something or at a, like tonight, I wear the nice jeans.
Uh-huh.
And then I have my regular day-to-day favorite jeans, and then I have like
skinny jeans my, with the ball crushers.
All the jeans are skinny jeans at this point.
Okay.
But then I have like the my jeans that have like they're more fashion forward, so they have like right rips. Now the big thing is the rips.
Right.
So I wouldn't wear those necessarily today. But yeah, I was like, oh, I better wear my good jeans today.
I just think it was so weird because last year you walked in, Glenn Davis is all done up, jacket, that, coat, I mean pocket square, and I had a like a suit ready to go. Going, I don't know exactly what we're gonna to expect. We've never done it before, and then Granato walks in with a t-shirt and flip-flops and jeans and Coors Light under his arm. And I'm like, well, God, I'd like to be more comfortable. And I actually went and changed because I was like, that's not going to fly.
The only difference for me this year as opposed to last year is I'm not going to be the last on-air personality here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I don't plan on being here as long either, man.
I promise you.
It wore me down last year.
I was exhausted. I'm like, nope, I'm out of here. So I plan on being the second one to leave.
Is Charlie joining the show?
Whoever leaves first, Charlie will probably be the guy that leaves first. But whoever leaves first, I will be leaving second. Charlie, are you leaving first today? No, after when the party starts at 6:30, what time is your plan?
When you pull
exit
the plug
from the party? 7?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's we're going to go till 10. Wink, wink.
10%, last 10% here last year.
You were here. You were the last 10% last year? So it was you and me, is what you're trying to say.
I did skip out eventually, but I lasted pretty long.
Now it's funny how this revisionist history, everyone remembers it differently. Because I looked for you two at one point, and I couldn't find either of you. So. Uh-huh.
He does that to me at a sporting event. It's fine. It happens.
It's an accident. What time are you leaving, Charlie? You going to leave at about 8:30? If I set the over-under at how long?
I will be here after
8:30. What's the minimum you stay? 2 hours? 2.5
Nick,
hours? 3 hours?
Mark it down. I will be here past 8:30.
At least 9:30. Okay. I'm writing all these down. I'm going to be basically like a hall monitor. While I'm getting everybody's time, estimated time for leaving, and I'll be checking. Yeah, I'll be checking. There will be a report that goes out, so just be aware of that.
Now, are you staying? Because I heard you talk about you didn't want to go home. So if you're staying, you know, I heard Jose give you the option of being in Nick's production room for our entire show, which, God, thank you for not accepting that. But are you staying here now?
Is this technically unpaid overtime?
This is unpaid overtime for you.
No, I'm going to go run a couple of errands and then come back and then listen to the remainder of The Usual Suspects.
Oh, look at you. You're a company man
from in the
on
studio.
The Twitch. So you don't plan.
Yeah, you're turning people on right now just by showing everybody your ass on the live stream.
They need to get out more.
So you're planning on 9:30 is the latest. Okay, I'm going to mark that down. And Joel, yours is
the latest. My guess is I will be here.
Oh.
The event itself is 6 till 10?
6:30.
6:30 to, I don't know if they did an end date. I think at 10 probably is the ceiling.
Or we eat at 6?
Are you hungry?
We eat. I'm with him.
I have 6.
He said he's starving himself all day to eat his brains out. I haven't eaten all day except for some oatmeal this morning because we had meetings and stuff. So I'm going to – and I heard the Blitz talking about the fact that they want to make sure they get the food before the people get let in because they're going to be on the air till 7.
You eat oatmeal in the summer?
No. I don't eat – yeah, I don't eat oatmeal in the summer for sure.
I do.
Wasn't making light of it. It was just an observation. I'm a cereal guy in the colder weather.
What cereal? What do you eat? Let me guess. Let me guess. Grape nuts.
Not really a fan.
Not a fan of grape nuts? Frosted mini wheats. That was not
more
a hype joke, by the way.
More likely unfrosted
mini wheats. See? Okay. Because I was going to say,
I'll mix them.
I was going to say you've got the, you know, you got the sugary side, but you've got the practical side, which reminds me of you. Softly. You've got the crazy side and the practical side.
Over under any given points, probably 3.5 boxes.
What?
Different cereals.
Wow. Okay. What are they?
Top three.
Right now, I didn't take inventory this morning. Raisin Bran's very good cereal.
Oh, my God.
Very sugary.
You should
very
sugary. I knew it.
You add sugar to your Raisin Bran?
The best junk cereal is Lucky Charms.
I disagree completely.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that.
It seems an untoward reaction to be mad at my cereal. It's not like I'm stealing
your
cereal.
Okay, so top three. I got Raisin Bran.
But oatmeal and August.
Come on, man. I'm trying to stay on this healthy thing. And so Lisa told me, because I never ate breakfast before, that I have to, and oatmeal is the best choice. So oatmeal with a teaspoon of peanut butter in it.
Instant oatmeal, what? Or you make the real stuff on the stove?
Yeah, instant. No.
And that's not really so healthy anymore at that point.
I don't need you right now.
The minute oatmeal, or like the stuff that comes with apples and cream sauce in there?
We know the plain oatmeal with a
the one in the carton, the big carton.
No, we have a hot water. Our water machine has a hot water, so you just put the hot water on it, mix it up, you're good to go.
All right, you have 2 hours and 40 something minutes to undo any damage I've done to start.
Can you just give me the top three cereals that are sitting there besides Raisin Bran? What's
right
the other
now,
two?
Right now, I think a Honey Bunches of Oats with almonds.
Okay.
And unfrosted mini wheats. But for those, I'm just going to get the house brand.
Now you realize the Honey Bunches of Oats with almonds, you realize that that's a sugared cereal that's processed. And it's probably not the best for you.
And the third one right now, I'll let you know tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh, wait.
I thought you said it was Raisin Bran.
Not in the pantry at this point in time.
Okay.
But I'm off tomorrow.
That's right.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm not surprised about that either. Certainly not. You have more vacation days than you do work days.
I'm surprised
that
you are here tomorrow.
Really?
So yin and yang.
Oh, I see. I deserve that. I deserve that. Wow. Okay, fair enough.
And your dress attire tonight is going to be what?
What I'm wearing now.
See?
It's radio, not the opera.
He's got shorts on.
Your shorts, Charlie? To a listener appreciation party? You must not really appreciate your listeners.
It's a matter of opinion.
Jeez.
You got the legs for it.
You certainly have the legs for it. You have sexy legs.
You got the shoes.
Let it
so
be known.
You're good.
Let
fly.
It be known. Charlie Polillo has sexy legs. You can see them on the Twitch screen right now. Show them. Put them up there on the desk.
They're seeing enough of him.
Can Nick, you haven't fun yet?
I'm not looking.
Can you do the splits,
I'll
Charlie?
Have you know, I came in merely to grab the little phone connector.
His dongle.
Piece that I left.
He came in to grab a dongle is the technical term for it.
All right,
Charlie. We'll see you tonight. Thank you,
yes,
sir.
Yes, you will.
Carry on, as you say, as you were. Charlie Polillo, you can hear him every day, 11 to 1, right here on ESPN 97.5. And if you're lucky enough to have listener appreciation party tickets, you'll see him all night long, at least until 9:30 this evening. Now, that was fun.
That was interesting. We used to have Polillo on the show all the time.
Yeah. But
once a week, twice. No, it started off Monday and Friday or something like that.
Sometimes when you're browbeat to do things, the bruises are tough to get over.
All right, now. But speaking of browbeating, let's talk about your Astros.
My Astros. Now, remember, we just had this conversation.
Well, I know we're going to run out of time in this segment, but
get it started. Your bullpen sucks right
now. No, let's. I want to devote a whole segment just to Ryan Pressly. So let's talk about some other things.
Oh boy.
And Wade Miley, your two guys. When we went off the air, they were making the comeback, right? Like it was they hadn't come all the way back and tied it up.
I had
9-9
to let you
yet.
Know that Altuve hit the home run to tie it to let you know that your bullpen guys got off the hook.
You called me,
yeah,
and we had some other discussions.
Yeah, don't worry about all that. Yeah,
we do need to address that. I think
I don't at think some so, point. But I'm happy
no?
to do it.
Well, we can address it. But then you said that you told me about the Altuve thing. So I thought for sure that's game over. Now that they're making the comeback, it's the Astros. I fully didn't expect to get home and see that it was 13-9. And I don't know, man, somebody gave up a grand slam.
Oh, I know exactly who it is. Yeah. But who, just because I said that was one guy I had confidence in.
Who was it?
Because I even tweeted his numbers. Because I saw your tweet to me. Hey, let's talk about this tomorrow on the show. Look, I'm not saying Ryan Pressly is invincible
either. Is that
either
who it was?
Because of the fact that I said that even he's had some hiccups. And the fact of the matter is, he's like Osuna. He's like all the guys you keep sticking up for. The only guy that you're going to have any ground to stand on with that bullpen right now is Will Harris, because his numbers, and you're going to go to the numbers.
I mean, we're going to have to go back and get some air checks, because I'm pretty sure you've been a heavy defender of Ryan Pressly.
I have been.
And even said everyone else is suspect in that bullpen.
I want Ryan Pressly to be the closer.
And you bagged on Osuna for his post-All-Star 5. Break.
5.40.
Oh, okay.
Earned run average since the break.
Gotcha.
Now, Pressly's isn't good either.
Yeah, let's see. Pressly's June 4.35. Pressly's July 470.
So now all of a sudden, August instead of you 12. Telling everybody not to worry about anybody in
the bullpen
now
is
you're
fine.
Jumping on the crap on Ryan Pressly?
No, my whole point is that everything I was telling you about everybody else, and you were a truth denier about them, and you were just saying Ryan Pressly is the greatest thing ever, it applies to him too. Everyone's going to go through
fine,
a slump and a
did
rough
I
patch.
Not say that, and Nick I and I had the conversation. Nick was with me. There are certain guys you don't have confidence in when they come in the game.
So do you now not have confidence in Ryan Pressly because he has a 12 ERA for the month of August?
I'm a little bit concerned, yes.
Oh, my God. You're the worst fan ever.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Good thing I'm not a fan. I'm a member of the media, and I work in sports radio. So, therefore, I'm paid to get my opinion.
I can't wait till Aaron Rodgers.
Don't you start there. That's off limits. You don't touch my guy.
I can't wait till he throws 5 interceptions
in
practice
possible.
In a row.
Yeah, okay, Jimmy G.
Like Garoppolo. And then you're going to be like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is washed up. Is that the same, right? Because that's the logic you're using. I'm just saying. I know. We'll get more into it.
Can't wait.
On the other
I'm
side.
I'm Bart Scott. Can't wait. All right, if you're just getting started with us on the program, you know how these things go. But if you don't, here's the information. HR&P Listener Line, 713-780-3776. Call that number or text that number. And if you want to reach us directly via Twitter, it's at the producer Dick, at Pac-Man Zoll with a K, at Barry is funny. We're the usual suspects, just getting started right here on ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HR&P listener line. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, 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 guys, look at the timeline of breaking news. Can't get to the Astros right now because we've got something we need to talk about. Boogie Cousins, who signed a one-year deal with the Lakers in the offseason because, again, he's chasing a title and trying to prove that he is not injury-prone. Well, that bug has bitten again, and it has bitten hard as the reports are coming out now that Boogie Cousins has a torn ACL. And if that is the case, he obviously misses the season. But when you start factoring in the hip flexor issue at the end of the season for the Warriors into the playoffs last year, the Achilles before that, and now you look at an ACL.
Well, that's the fear. There's going to be more tests today, right?
There's tests all day today. Woj's initial Woj bomb was he suffered an injury to his knee. They're going to check him out.
Bumped knees with another player.
Now they're saying the fear is it's a quote-unquote serious knee injury, and they're thinking it's a torn ACL. If that's the case...
Is he done?
I don't think his career is over, but Nick and I were talking during the break about this. I think when you start calculating how high salaries have gotten in the NBA and how many these one-year bargain deals he's taken, and he's going to have to take another one, he's going to cost himself about $100 million over the course of his career. Because if you think about it, he was a max player. If he doesn't have any of these injuries, when he goes to the Pelicans at the end and finishes that season, and he's going to become a free agent. If he doesn't get hurt with the Achilles against the Rockets, he's probably going to get 20-some a year.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he signed for 5.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, he thought, I'm going to play a year for the Warriors. I'm going to get my ring. I'm going to be good to go, prove it to everybody, and I'm going to get a big long-term deal the next year. Well, because of the hip deal, He doesn't get that, and he signs a one-year, $5 million deal with the Lakers. So that's two deals where he cost him about 20-some million on each deal.
Yeah, but it's a freak thing, too. That's what's unfortunate.
Yeah. And you don't know. Some people's bodies are made differently, and they break down differently. Yeah. But the thing is, over the course of his career, and he came out early, so he's still somewhat young. But when you think about it now with this, and he's not only not going to play the whole year, but now there's no team on the planet that's going to give him multiple years at a big-time salary.
No, he's going to have to get through at least a year injury-free, at least, and back to relatively close to where he was performing before all of this started. In order to get the kind of money that you're mentioning that he's missing out on because of these injuries.
And he was a double-double machine before he got hurt.
He's 29.
Ooh,
that
boy.
Means he may not be playing again until he's closer to 30. His birthday is August 13th. Mm. So he just turned 29. He's probably going to miss a year from now, right? So going into, he's going to miss all of next season. If, now this is an if. Because we have no idea until the test
right. Assuming
done.
That the reports
assuming,
are true.
Right. That
it's a
an
serious
ACL.
Knee injury.
That means he's not going to be playing until he'll hit the court at 30 going into his,
But he's also then left at least 60-plus on the table.
Man.
And you got to figure any one of those deals that he could have gotten in the past would have been multiple years, 3 to 5 years minimum. It's a tough deal for him because, everybody says you only need so much money in life. But at the end of the day, when you look back at your career, you don't want to shake your head with a calculator going, you know what? If I didn't go through all these injuries, I probably would have had not only just in salary, but endorsements and other opportunities. Oh. You're talking about $100 million.
And the fact that his points per game was down almost 10 points a game from his previous year last year, down 5 over his career average. So some of that probably had to do with the injury. He only played in the 30 games, but he still, on a team like the Warriors, you would think that at least his per game, I haven't checked his per 36, but he's not trending in the right direction.
Right.
So that kind of sucks, man. That's the weird thing about sports is sometimes that kind of thing will happen.
Yeah, I mean, and Nick, you know this too. You cover the team on a regular basis, and you know the NBA as well as anybody. The fact of the matter is that you can dislike a player for the way they play or their attitude or whatever comes with the package. But at the end of the day, you never want to look at a guy and go, God, that sucks, man. I mean, for no wrongdoing of his, like maliciously, just his body breaking down is going to cost him $100 million.
I mean, I've been on this show saying Boogie Cousins is a talent that I would like, because you've always said, and you brought it to light several times, Joel, is that his only issue was between the ears.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always say, if I'm an owner, I would tell the coach or the GM, hey, deal with his personality issues. See if you can make this guy a great player because he's just that talented. $5.3 million after 1 year, knowing how good he was, I'm sure he expected it. Now he's probably going to have to live, if he can at least heal, he's probably going to have to take team-friendly deals for the remainder of his career unless he has one or two solid years where he's not only healthy, but he has a decent season.
And Barry, that's kind of where you were going too. The fact of the matter is that he's going to have to perform at a high level for an entire season without one little hangnail for anybody to even sniff a multiple-year deal for a guy that probably should have been in that top tier of free agents this offseason going, here's a guy that's a franchise player. And Nick, you're right, because I know people in several different scouting departments. Everybody from the time that I was in the league when he came into the league said, look, this guy pound for pound talent-wise for a guy 7 foot tall has so much ability. He could transcend the game whether they get rid of the big man or not because he's that good. That you didn't expect any of this to happen for him. But he's going to have a squeaky, clean health year where he puts up big numbers for any team to, even the Knicks, as stupid as they are, to go, you know what, we're going to give you 3 years and $65 million. It's not going to happen.
No. Godspeed, Boogie's ACL.
And his Achilles. And his hip flexor.
Man.
And whatever's between his ears.
Yeah.
Because that's a combo platter from hell right now.
Yeah. That's the sports world, though, right? I mean, he's not the first to go through stuff like this.
No, but
it's just you kind of feel like this is the beginning of the end.
But most guys go through one. When you talk about
I'm talking about a string of injuries that's basically the beginning of the end of a guy's career. You could probably compare that
to Arian Foster.
Yeah.
Right?
It
started to go bad, and he had one more 1 year deal with Miami, and then the hamstring did it.
We got one where the jury's still out, folks. Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant had a calf that turned into an Achilles, and he's over the
30-year-old threshold on him, Ricky
Bobby. But I'm just
scary,
saying,
but it could be true.
I'm just saying we're a TBD on where he goes from here, and no one's arguing his greatness leading up to this. But when you get multiple major injuries back to back like this, it's career changing in a lot of ways, and that's what we just talked about with Cousins. We don't know what Kevin Durant's going to be when he comes back. You hope he's as good as he was or better.
Just can't. You have no idea. Some guys bounce back.
Yeah, 0%.
Yeah,
because everybody again reacts differently. They get injured differently and they come back from injuries differently. So sad news. If you're a Laker fan, a basketball fan, a Boogie Cousins fan, regardless, that's a blow right there, and that's going to be a tough one to take. So we'll continue to talk about that if you want. I guess we could talk about the Astros and their bullpen if we have to, and the fact that they're opening up a series in the Bay Area against the A's, the second place team in the division, starting this evening. So there's lots to get to there. Before we head to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I've been a huge supporter of Infuse Energy for years now. I made the switch, and I just re-upped with them, and why wouldn't I? Because the fact of the matter is Josh Pesikoff and his staff are focused on the people of Houston and giving them the best deal he possibly can. Right off the top, when you call the number, which is 844-INFUSE2, 463-8732, you're going to get a human being on the phone and not an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, and their simple goal is to make sure they get you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. You can check them out on InfuseEnergy.com as well, but talking to them is going to get you the quickest results. You mentioned ESPN 97.5 in your conversation, $25 off as a bill credit right off the top, and then they're going to just kind of dive down into the deal until they can pinpoint the best rate and the best deal possible. Sometimes there's going to be a company out there that can beat their rates. They're going to let you know that too, because they want you to know they're honest and like a trustworthy friend. They're going to be there with you till the end. You may go with them now, you may go with them later, but you'll go with them because you can trust them. Simply put, it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your pink fingertips. Check them out and infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go, second half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be in this big city on this fine day in Houston, Texas. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We're in the studio, and we're rolling along. We very much sports-centric as we're getting you the latest and greatest in information as we give you the Boogie Cousins rumors that are out there now that he has suffered a serious knee injury, working on a new one-year, $5 million deal with the Lakers. He may never put the purple and gold on for the entire – may never ever wear the Laker uniform.
How beautiful is that, though, when you can never play a single second for a team and they're still guaranteed to have to pay you that money?
Good and bad, obviously, because the financial ramifications are long-term. But also –
get the money. If this was the NFL, he'd be screwed.
He'd also have the T-Mac factor if they win it all.
Yeah.
He can get a ring – and may never participate. Because remember,
would they give him one, though?
Remember when the Spurs picked him up? Oh, this is different than the whole Clemson deal with Dabo. Like in the NBA, if you're on the roster,
you get one
more
no matter
chances
what.
Than not, you're getting one.
More and chances than not.
Well, I was going to say, if you piss off the whole locker room before you even get to like game one and they send you packing, then they're probably not going to give you one.
I mean, would you... If he never played a single solitary second for that team, not practice, no nothing, because of what's happened, do you vote that he gets a ring?
You know why? Because it was out of his control. He had every intention of being a healthy and contributing member of your team.
I see that.
That the difference would be like the year Vernon got kicked off the team, VMAX got kicked off the team with the Rockets second championship. We were all in Utah. And it just exploded at the end of shoot-around. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, we're on the way to the stadium, and we're told Vernon got sent home. He's done. We're like, oh, God, without VMAX, what's going to happen? And then you start thinking about it when they win the championship. Like, that's where it's a team vote where it can get dicey. Yeah. And if he's, you know, and that's where your friends go up against your enemies in the locker room, or if, you know, whatever side you're on, they make you choose sides. But in the case of a guy that had a health issue cost him, I think he would still get a ring.
Okay. Let's talk about your Astros.
My Astros. He keeps doing this. That's fine. Let's talk about it.
I will admit that the bullpen has scuffled as of late. But, but this
with
is
you,
no,
there's always a but.
Well, I'm just saying this is no different than any other, you know, a rotation scuffle or some guys in the lineup scuffling. It's just, it's going to happen.
I didn't say ass. I said with you, there's always a but.
There's moments when, you know, a whole unit will struggle for a team, whether it's the rotation or.
So essentially, you were in that same boat where your unit has struggled for a length of time. The biggest thing
can
is.
Can we leave my unit out of this?
Do you feel like you'll be able to right the ship with this unit and get what you need to get out of them in terms of performance?
Yes.
When the lights are the brightest and the stage is the biggest.
All jokes and joking aside.
Yes.
I feel like this the core of this bullpen is a very solid core. And I mean, God, even the, you know, bullpens you thought were going to be amazing this year, like the Yankees, they're not even a top five bullpen as far as ERA and you know, saves and stuff. So, well, I think they're up there in saves, but I think, you know, Chapman has five blown saves just like Osuna does. So it's one of those things where, as an Astros fan, I'm talking to Astros fans. There's really no reason to panic.
But here's the thing: the fans that you're talking to,
they can
are
be irrational,
panicked.
Because they can be irrational.
It started out with playful banter about Rondon and guys like that, and then after the final game where Osuna blew the save and gave up the home run against the Orioles, it started to become more than just cindering ashes. It became a little bit of a campfire. And then with Presley, and Will Harris's last outing, he gave up a home run. So now it's becoming more of a bonfire. After the game yesterday, social media was an Astros bullpen bonfire of people just freaking out.
And I just don't understand that. I really don't. If I'm not going to allow you to freak out in April over 1 month of bad hitting, why would I allow them, and I'm saying allow in, you know, relative terms, why would it be okay to freak out in August because of some bad bullpen play?
I think the positive example is you can point to Yuli and you can point to Altuve and say, look, they turned it around. But the negative is when you're talking about this bullpen and the fact that you've seen guys that were all-stars that you thought were going to be collective all-stars going forward that have fallen off, and then you start worrying about, okay, can they get it back? Presley, we don't know if that. He said he was completely in denial about the knee being an issue yesterday. It was all about just that, you know, he just didn't get the job done. We don't know if they have any kind of medical thing lingering that's hindering them, with the exception of, you can make the assumption that Presley's knee may still not be 100%. But at the same time, can they right the ship? Is Brent Strom going to be able to be that guy, get back with the team and be a vital cog in, hey, let's cure what's ailing you, but can you get that whatever's ailing you cured before the playoffs?
I love how people...
And I'm just throwing it out there because I read all the tweets last night and there were people losing their mind.
See, If you can see the track record of a guy like Yuli who starts off struggling and then turns it around, or a guy like Altuve who starts off struggling and turns around, or let's flip the script, a guy like Reddick who starts off like gangbusters,
true,
and Chirinos who we're talking all stars.
Yeah, we were.
And now they're both crap in the bed. This is a game of ups and downs, and no player is immune to that, including Justin Verlander, who just got beat by the Baltimore Orioles.
No, Wade Miley is. But let's
Wade Miley is not. But your boy is the one that choked away the whole game to begin with.
The tough thing when you bring up Altuve and Yuli, you didn't know. Because Yuli, people were saying, is it if he's already up there in age? Is he gotten to the point where he's on the decline?
Yuli was on track to put up numbers similar to what he had in his career. He was just the first part of it. He was
not. At least with Altuve, we've seen this story unfold before. He gets off to the slow start, but by the end of the year, 200 hits, 300 average, does whatever. But there were still people that were not very uneasy about it. But I give you that because we've seen that track record and we've seen him snap out of it. I think everybody thought that this bullpen was, I don't want to say perfect, but they were in the best possible spot they could be, and that everybody knew their role, and everybody was on a roll, and that They had one of the best, and yet you obviously gave us the numbers on a consistent basis. One of the best bullpens in the league.
Mm-hmm. They still are. Top five in ERA as a bullpen.
Can they maintain that through the playoffs? Because we know that the Dodgers have had issues. Kenley Jansen basically didn't do them any favors. Some would say cost them a World Series against the Astros with the Marwin home run and some of the ways he faltered.
Yeah.
You don't want to get into a situation where you made every right move to set everything up, and then all of a sudden the unexpected happens, and it's not an injury, it's your bullpen that's failing.
Would you have rather them gone out and not added Zach Greinke and added another closer?
No.
Well,
no, but I'm saying, but again, and I wrote an article about this before the deadline, and we talked about it a little bit, but I said, if you're going to be kicking the tires on what's out there, it wouldn't be a bad idea to find out, and I guess Biagini might be that guy. But I had suggested, hey, one, and you said it wasn't a big deal, and I get that from a numbers perspective, but one, maybe a situational lefty, but two, maybe one more arm that you can rely on out there that you might be able to pull a trade for. Now, if Biagini was your guy, fine.
But adding Sanchez does that essentially because Peacock gets pushed into the bullpen, and you still have McHugh. So you got better in the bullpen. You just did it by adding guys to your rotation.
That's fair.
I guess for me, it's just baseball. You have to. It's such a long. If this was the Rockets and there was only so many games, but I mean with 162 games and the fact that there's, you know, another month and a half to play.
And it's interesting you say.
And
that.
They'll be playing a lot.
You know,
between now and the end of the
reason why they're freaking out.
No.
Because of that, because of the fact that they already know it's a foregone conclusion they're going to win the division.
Yeah.
But now they're watching the Dodgers and Yankees. And again, Astros fan base freaking out because you know what? They're not the best record in baseball. They're a couple games. They're a game and a half behind those two teams. People, I'm just telling you, that's a button that's being pushed. That's one of the reasons why people are freaking out.
Yeah, well, I mean, my message to Astros Nation is just don't panic. Like, This is typical of a baseball team. Mm-hmm. Everything that the Astros are doing is typical of a baseball team. In fact, if I was really nerdy and could go back and do it, I bet you I could find spots during the World Series run where their bullpen did the same thing.
You got time.
I'm not going to
Between the
invest.
End of the show and the listener Listen, appreciation party, you I'm got not, plenty of time today.
I'm not investing that much
we'll
time
get you
in
cubed.
It. But I'd be willing to bet you that there were runs where they were, in fact, their record at one point within a week or so ago was on track, was the exact same that it was the year they won the World Series.
Right.
And that was after the longest losing streak they had since 2012, something like that.
And I'll tell you this, because the numbers all stack up in terms of how many multiple game winning streaks of seven or more they've had more than anybody else. They're doing so many things right. I tell you another reason why people are panicked, because normally this happens to just Will Harris or to just Chris Devinsky. I'm using former All-Stars, right? Where all of a sudden they're not their All-Star caliber.
Right.
But when you see it happen to multiple guys in your bullpen, that's another reason to throw the red concern flag.
Let's not forget that this is a bullpen that has been taxed all year.
Sure.
So a lot of this is probably chalked up to fatigue, too.
It's a good point, because we even said maybe you see Osuna on the 10-day.
Well, no. What you're going to see is you're going to see guys getting a lot more rest come September call-ups. So when October rolls around, you're going to have fresher arms, and whatever mechanical issues these guys might be having obviously can be fixed. I think a lot of this is the fact that this bullpen has been overtaxed because of a myriad of situations that have gone on throughout the year. So get them some rest during September, when September call-ups happened, and they're fine. Everyone chill.
And that's a good point.
Thank you.
You just remember they've already given Presley that time off.
Well, that was injury.
No, before the injury, he said he needed his arm had been. Remember at that home stretch where he gave him a series and a half off.
Right.
Well, look. You know how well that did him.
I mean,
bam! Grand slam. Look out! All right,
that's your boy. You're making fun of.
I like him too. I'm just saying. I didn't expect that last night.
No one did.
All right. If you want to talk some Astros, we got plenty more to get to. Garrett Cole, supposedly it's not that bad, but we don't know when he's going to be back. We can talk about that. We can talk about Texans-Lions practice day two before they play at NRG on Saturday night. And NBA, Boogie Cousins, Rockets, whatever. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, we're here for you. 713-780-3776. Call, text, tweet. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number one, three-hour show. It's ESPN 97.5, which means you got the usual suspect. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel on a listener appreciation party Thursday in the big city.
I like the way you went. On a listener appreciation party.
Well, you know, you got to make it kind of sound like a fandango. An interesting kind of a hoity-toity. We're going to have a grand old time tonight, boys. We're going to mix and mingle and stir it up with the peeps.
Oh, Muffy.
Did you guys see all the booze?
Yeah.
In the room?
In the room,
I'm
out of the room.
Super pumped about
they're
that.
All, it's all over. It's all in the over conference the place. Room. It's outside already in the lobby.
So much booze.
There's a gifting map table that had whiskey on it. That drew my attention right away.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I'm ready.
I did not see that.
I wish I actually could partake in more of the alcohol, but I'm a stickler of not drinking and driving, so I'm like...
Smart move on your part.
Yeah. If I could get an Uber paid for, I'd do it, but I'm just like, no. I'm just going to have one.
Evidently,
that what happened
the front
last
office
time?
Of the Arizona Cardinals might need drink? To follow your lead.
No, you got a... Didn't you have an Uber? Or get up... not the pick me...
Get me.
Get me. That's what it was.
No.
It was for something else then, maybe.
That was for the Sunfest.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. And Super Bowl, I'm thinking, too.
Yes. Yeah. And something else.
Okay.
Because I remember, what was the one
there was one. There was another one.
Was it it was Gal's party.
It was. It was the Super Bowl party.
Oh, that ride home. That was the guy that was a rapper or something like that?
No idea.
He was like a Hindi rapper or something. I don't remember. It was wild. I have video. That was, that was a fun night.
That's where you took the cat out for a walk. Something.
No, I think I put the cat in the garage.
In the garage,
for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
Yeah. No wonder the cat is...
He's hanging in there.
Well, it could be carbon monoxide poisoning from putting him in the garage.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have carbon monoxide poison that I know of.
See?
I know of.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not positive. A lot of crazy stuff going on in the world, both sports and non-sports related. Mm-hmm. Can we do this? I wanted since we're talking baseball, I just wanted to hit this because your favorite radio guy, Mike Francesa.
He's a bit brain dead these days.
He does some weird stuff on air. Now, we do weird stuff on air too. We have our moments where we do dumb or weird things.
No, that's all you.
But this dude was trying to calculate what the Mets needed to do to make a playoff push because they're there. It's not out of the realm of possibilities. No one thinks that it's crazy to discuss the Mets being in it at this point. And he's trying to figure out what they needed to do and how many wins that they would need to do in order to make the playoffs. And so he went through the scenario on air, and this is what he said.
Let me give it to you exactly. So they've played 118. They have 44 games to play. How many games will it take? Let me think about this for a second. There's 61 and 57. Okay? They got 44 games to play. If they win 22 and 22, they got 83. That's not cutting it. That's 83-79. That's not getting you anything. So... you got to take 22, take four off that, go to 26, take four off that. That's 26 and 18. That's 89. I don't think yet. Take one more off there. I think it'll probably take 90 wins to get the wild card.
Now, pause it real quick, Nick. This is all going on.
On air!
On air. Well, and he's... this is something, if you're going to come on the air and just make a point about the Mets making the playoffs, you would probably, what? Why are you looking like that?
Because the whole time I'm listening to it, I go, is he reading text messages?
You would
I'm previewing on the fly.
You would have the math. You would think you would have the math done already.
Right, exactly.
So he doesn't. If we can skip forward just a little bit, can you just bump forward to the call? Because he's doing this. This goes on for a while.
He takes a call?
Yeah. So this goes on for a little while longer that he's doing this. And then he gets done and he figures out. Basically, the point he was trying to make was, if the Mets can win 90 games, they can make a wild card and they'll get the wild card and be in the playoffs. So he could have just said that and said, well, right now they have 61 wins. They need to win 29 more games, and there's 44 games left to play. So you do the no. So he goes through all this, and then this is what the caller says right after he's done with all the math.
It's pretty good baseball. I think it might take 90. It's 89 anyway. Eddie in Hoboken, what's up, Eddie?
Mike, I got to tell you, listening to the dead air while you're doing math is one of the greatest things out there. It's the best. Thanks, guy.
Who knew
that's
Jerry?
What you stayed on the phone to do?
And he just cut it. Who knew Jerry? Who knew Jerry would call Mike Francesa and be like, but that was the greatest thing ever. Listening to you do math over the dead air. I was like, when I heard it, I was like, oh, damn, that's Jerry. Jerry would call and say that to us.
The only thing missing was a hi-oh, and then he would have done it, either before or after.
I got to tell you, listening to the dead air while you're doing math is one of the greatest things out there. It's the best. Thanks, guy.
Now listen to this.
That's what you stayed on the phone to do? You know? I mean, thanks for that. You know what? That's it. So tell me out, please. Eddie, tell me now how to do a show. I haven't figured that out yet. Yeah, so thanks. Give me some pointers. I need them.
Yeah, you kind of do if you're doing math for 2+ minutes. It was painful to listen on this show to him doing the math, but I had to make the point.
You made the point about Jerry when you played the call the second time.
It sounds like Jerry.
It sounds like Jerry.
Yeah, it really does. That's when I first heard it, I was like, oh, damn, that's our Jerry right there.
I thought you meant just because he was blasting one of the hosts.
No, both. Because it sounded like Jerry, and then the stuff that he said is something Jerry would call and say to us. But that is that's the pinnacle of our industry, doing the math.
Remember when he was real close to us doing on the Radio maths. Row, and he just like would stay in the corner by himself, and he expected
was he the
everybody.
One to the left of
he,
us?
He was there. So he was slightly. No, he was
to the left of us. That was,
he was in that corner, and he expected everybody to bring him every guest and just kiss his ring. And
he was an awkward bird.
Yeah.
But that was, I just thought that was super funny that was the whole show, or that was the whole gist of the conversation, not show, but that was his whole point. Rather than just saying, the Mets are going to need to win 90 if they're going to make the playoffs. They've got, 29 more wins to get over the next 44 games.
Now, Palullo does that where he carries the one and you can hear the pen moving on the pad and does all that stuff by hand.
You could literally hear the...
Yeah.
He's definitely still doing pin to pad for sure.
Yeah, and Charlie does show too. Prep, but Charlie at least knows that he does that during the break, and then on the air, he's got it in front of him ready to go.
I'm surprised Francesa didn't have like an abacus where you just heard like beads sliding and he's doing the addition that way.
Yeah.
That's the old school dude right there. But you know what that reminded me of? If people that have been around the sports talk radio in Houston for a long time will remember Ed Fowler on Star 610.
Oh, yeah.
That's the kind of radio that Ed Fowler would do.
You talk about old school.
He would read the paper to you. Yeah. He would just sit there and be like, in the Chronicle, it says here that the Astros.
But he was crotchety, but he had an ego, and he believed because he had been in the market for a long time.
That he knew best?
Yeah, he would go like butt heads with you on anything.
Who was it? It wasn't Kenny Hand that was with Ed Fowler.
I don't know
was
if he was
it?
With Fowler, but Kenny Hand was another guy that transformed from being a columnist writing for the newspaper into radio.
All the paper guys think they can do radio.
Yeah.
I don't think I would be a good writer. I don't go that. Jerome is the one guy, well, one of the few guys that can do both. Jerome is good on the radio, and he's a good writer. I don't know that there are a lot of other people in this town that do both well.
I would agree that's a rare exception.
That's not a shot at Lopez. See why you...
Yeah, that was the
shot. That was the shot at Lopez.
It wasn't. It's adding and enhancing your comment.
I can't tell the difference between your Clyde and your Lopez.
No.
Clyde laughs like that, too?
No, he does not. And no, I would not do that.
How does Clyde go? It's pretty close.
Bill!
It's pretty close.
It is. It's really similar.
It's like...
Lopez is more Barney Rubble.
You are such a dick for that.
Why?
My bad.
Sorry.
Okay. I'm like, I can't do it like you. That's
break down that dunk. Oh, Bill! We got to go to break.
Right, we have no friends in this business.
Hour number one gone. 2 hours still to go as we keep counting you down towards the listener appreciation party and more right here on ESPN 97.5.